In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're the Junks, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time now to say good morning to our pal, Brian Robinson Jr. He's presented by Main Street Bank, Cheer Local, Bank Local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. B-Rob, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Did you stay up to watch the game last night? What is your Monday night football routine when you're off?
Usually I do stay up and watch the games. They come on pretty late, so I'll probably watch up until about halftime. Unless the game interests me on a higher level, then maybe I'll watch through the whole game. But I didn't get to watch the whole game last night. Probably watched a good half.
What do you watch? When you watch, what are you looking at? Are you watching the running backs? Are you watching, like, the O-line? Or you just kind of following the ball like the rest of us?
So last night was a night where I had a chance to study because, you know, the Cowboys are facing them this week. So
right.
I had a chance to just kind of see how they play, you know, overall, you know, as a defense, you know, as a team, you know, just all of their traits. And, you know, I had, you know, a great idea of how they play based off of how I seen them play last night, you know, and I do watch the opposing running backs against the team I'm about to play against. So obviously I've seen Joe Mixon have a great night.
Right.
So,
yeah, be honest, yeah. B-Rob, you were getting a little bit giddy watching Joe Mixon.
carve
up that defense. You were chuckling to yourself a little bit, knowing that you're going to face those guys on a short week.
Don't make him say that.
I was definitely enjoying it. You know, I was definitely enjoying him do his thing. You know, I've been a fan of Joe Mixon for years, probably, you know, since he came out of college, and you know, just to see him, you know, constantly pushing for, you know, the running backs, you know, in year 8 and 9 and still balling and doing his thing to that level and, you know, just having a good night, you know, it just looked good, you know.
Yeah, the older set running backs are kind of having a renaissance. I mean, Derrick Henry, he scores every week. Alvin Kamara, like, the amount of touches and utilization he gets in that offense is crazy. Like, it's a good year to be an older running back in the league.
It's just a good year for running backs in general, yeah. Because, you know, they try to paint this narrative above us, you know, that, you know, we can't play for years and 10-plus years when, you know, obviously our best, most paved running backs in the league right now are in their, you know, second and third contracts, like Christian and Kamara and Henry, you know, them guys like that that just continue to push for us to just show that, you know, we can play this game at a high level for, you know, as many years as we put the work in.
Yeah, who would downplay running backs? Like, that's crazy, man. That's weird. I don't know any guys that would do that.
So, B-Rob, let's go back to the Philly game. You found the end zone, which was nice. You got back on the field. You found the end zone, but not a ton of success for the team running the football. What were the biggest challenges? As a fan, just watching the game, it seemed like Jalen Carter was a force.
Credit to him. He played well. I just feel like it was more so on our end of the, ball. You know, we could have just came out stronger. We could have we was very bland. We didn't really attack them how I would have expected our group to attack, and we just didn't. You know, and they played hard. They played physical, and you know, and critical times in the game, they was just more physical than us. You know, and that's when we got to step up to the plate and, you know, be the team that we aspire to be and, you know, dominate those moments. And I feel like, you know, once everybody look in the mirror and, you know, look at the film and just realize, you know, what's at stake in those critical situations, then we got to be better just all around.
So it wasn't like a scheme thing that you're saying. It was just more like sort of maybe inner motivation, that kind of thing?
I'm never really gonna ever get caught up into the schemes because that's not my MO.
Right.
Like it's my job to prepare, you know, whatever is in the scheme or the game plan, and you know, as you know, they call the plays, we gonna execute the plays the best we can, no matter if we like the call or not. You know, we gotta trust that, you know, our coach is gonna put us in the best situations, and we just gotta go and, you know, try to make that play come to life, you know, and I just feel like in critical situations in the game, we just didn't do that, and a lot of people took accountability, like, you know, coaches stood up and took accountability for, you know, decisions that they made in the game, maybe they would like to have back, and us as players, we gotta just do our part, you know, we gotta just make it come to life.
Mm-hmm. When you guys went through the film, was some of that stuff obvious? Like, could you see it, or...
Oh yeah, definitely. Film was. I even told Coach in the position meeting yesterday. You know, it was ugly to watch because we much better than what we put out there in a game where, you know, we had an opportunity to just show the world, you know, that hey, we are who we say we are, and you know, the film was just very ugly to watch, and it didn't show like what we've been working towards, and I just feel like it's a perfect opportunity, like, for guys to look in the mirror and get back on track.
How much of that had to do with just different personnel, different guys in there? Because you guys have been banged up a little bit. Like the old line.
That really has nothing to do with personnel. It's because, you know, we had to prepare to play. You know, when I get put back into the lineup, I'm not doing anything different than what I've been doing to prepare and to stay in the lineup or be, you know, in the game plan. So nothing really changes around that, around the personnel. You know, we can insert guys in different positions everywhere. Everybody got to be prepared to play their role the same exact way. So that's never going to be, you know, an excuse for personnel purposes, you know.
Joined by Brian Robinson from the Commanders. He's brought to you by Main Street Bank. I love Austin Ekeler, what he brings to this team, the compliment he brings to your tough physical running style. Problem with Austin Ekeler for you personally, Brian, is he really caps your receiving output, man. I know you can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know you have that skill set. Do you ever go up to Cliff and be like, hey, man, throw me an extra ball or two instead of, like, going to Ekeler all the time? But you're a team guy. You're not going to do that. That's just me being selfish.
Yeah. Like you said, like, I feel like I'm just as skillful, you know, with catching the ball and receiving as I am running out of the backfield. No, I'm always going to be for, you know, receiving or catching the ball or catching more balls, but also knowing, you know, that Austin, you know, who he is, you know, he's one of the most skillful running backs, receiving running backs to ever play. So, like, you know, just respect to him and to respect to his game and knowing what he brings to our team, you know, in our backfield as a receiver, you know, I just let him, you know, that's his lane, you know, I just let him have it. You know, and if it's anything for me in a receiving game, which, you know, Cliff still try to, you know, get me involved in the passing game, you know, I'll be all in for it. You know, I'll be all in for it any way it is to get me more touches, but I also want to see my guy E2.
Talking to Brian Robinson Jr., who's run for 524 yards, 7 touchdowns this season, did have a touchdown in that Eagles game. Of course, he missed some time, and we've had this debate on the show about what Dan Quinn said yesterday about Jaden Daniels. He said Jaden Daniels is not injured. All right. What's the difference between being injured and hurt from your perspective? Because no matter what the coach says, a lot of fans don't believe him and they think that Jaden is playing hurt.
I mean, I'm not really sure the conversation he's having with the coaches or training staff. you know, I know for the most part, I think he feels good. I really can't tell you what's really going on with him, if there is anything going on with him. But, you know, the coaches and the trainers, they know the truth, you know. And if Coach Quinn told you, you know, gave you an update on his status, then I would believe him. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I do. I actually do believe him, Brian. Here's what he said. And he said it's just like, you know, the last 10 days or so, and because of what they've been dealing with, they were kind of managing Jaden, that he just, the timing was off. He wasn't necessarily getting all the reps that he was getting before, like before practice, after practice. You know, you had the condensed week last week. And it was more of just almost like a reps thing. I buy that, actually. What was your schedule like, let's say, in the last week or so? Were you guys getting in full practice, full reps?
Yeah, I feel like I get what Coach is saying. You know, we haven't been, you know, kind of pushing the gas how we usually have, like, would, you know, to just sharpen our skills, you know, week in and week out. You know, it's starting to kind of, you know, kind of affect our gameplay when it comes to the weekend. Maybe we're not all the way physically prepared based off of how our week looked, you know. So he just feels like we need to turn the gas on a little more during the week to just make sure that we're prepared, well, physically prepared for Sunday, you know, and not just letting the weeks go by and not getting our work and sharpening our tools up every week to how we have known to do it so that we can progress every week, you know, and make strides in the right direction every week instead of, you know, going down.
So, Brian, you said you watched some of the game last night. You played the Cowboys a couple times in your career. What do you see in their current defense? Obviously, they still have, even though they're struggling, they're 31st in the league against the run, by the way. They still have a star player like Micah Parsons on that line. What do you see?
I feel like they definitely have some stars, you know, on their D that, you know, is going to lead them and, you know, try to, you know, definitely take off for them. But I don't really see anything different, you know, just same caliber type of players, you know, just in and out. There's really nothing about them that's going to change the way we do anything. We just got to prepare our best to go play our best ball, you know, regardless of how they show up. You know, not having the best season, divisional game, you know, it's going to be a lot of emotions, and we just got to handle our side of the sticks.
Have you noticed that teams have attacked you differently in the last 3 or 4 weeks?
I haven't really been on the field to kind of feel how teams play us, mm-hmm. but based on the film, I do see just some changes and just how teams, they feel like they have us figured out, so they try to prepare and run plays that they know can stop us, or they feel like will stop us. Or I see a lot of new stunts. Like Philly ran a lot of stunts with their front, you know, to try to disturb the run game, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but now that I'm back on the field, I will get a better feeling of how teams really, you know, try to attack us and play us.
It's time for the Pizza Bowlies question of the week. Pizza Bowlies offering wings, subs, and more. Pizza Bowlies delivers more taste. Download the Pizza Bowlies app for easy ordering. How tough is the late bye week for you and your Commanders teammates? Bye week in week 14 upcoming.
Did he hear you?
Brian? What did you say?
I'm sorry. Hey. How tough is it for you and the teammates having the late week 14 bye?
It's not tough, you know. One thing I learned, like, it really don't matter how anything is thrown at you. It don't matter if you play, you know, a Thursday night game, have to turn around and play Sunday. It really don't matter. Like, a part of being a pro is learning how to, you know, adjust to, you know, any situation or the circumstance regardless. You know, short weeks, they suck, but they make the best out of good teams, you know, if they go and we know how to handle things the right way. So, I feel like being able to get an more extended week going into this one will really help guys kind of get their minds back right and their bodies back right to just, you know, finish these last two weeks for the bye.
We used to have John on for a couple of years, and he'd always talk about he was big into like massages. He'd get several massages a week. He also said a big thing was a day after a game, I think he would go right away and he would lift to like get that lactic acid or whatever, you know, out of his body. Do you have any? Are you into any of that stuff too?
Yeah, I lift. I lift the day after the game, mm-hmm. mostly. I didn't lift the day after this week's game because I just had a couple of extra days to kind of get my body, let my body just rest. But I got back in the weight room yesterday, had a nice workout. I'm gonna get another one in today after this call, actually. Mm. And just gotta live in it. Gotta live in the building. Gotta live in the training room. Gotta live in the weight room. We play the way we play. You know, got to get multiple massages, 3 to 4, 5 massages per week.
Wow.
Just, you got to, like, you really got to, you know, take care of your body. You know, being healthy, you know, never take it for granted. You know, you got to stay feeling your best. That's going to help your mind and help your body.
All right, B-Rob, we're pulling for you. Best of luck this weekend against Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Expecting a big one. Thank you, buddy.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thank y'all.
Yep, that's Brian Robinson, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
I have to tell you, I really appreciate his. He's sincerely trying to answer these questions.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know what I mean.
Thoughtful guy.
He's sincerely trying to answer him. He's giving us his best answer. So I really
just
appreciate.
Duck.
It. Yeah. He's trying to, he's thinking about what we're asking him. He's trying to give us his honest answer. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Don't forget, coming up at 9:40, we'll be joined by Luke Thomas. We'll talk about the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight and more with him. That's coming up at 9:40 here on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.